Holding on Chof Amud Beis, we're going to begin the third and last perek of our Masechta. The topic of it is continuing from what we talked about before. We talked about in the last Mishnah and the Gemara about it, about various differences, various milas d'rabbanan between different things, that need to be kept tahor, between chulin, which we said could be regular chulin or chulin shenas or altaras hakodesh, versus Meiser Sheni, versus Truma, versus Kodesh, etc. So now continuing on that topic, so basically our Perek is going to be dealing with three subtopics within that. The first Mishnah and the Gemara on it are going to deal with various ways in which food of Kodesh has Chumris over food of Truma, and we'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow on Chofeh and Chofeh's, that's the shame why the Chachamim imposed such Chumris. We'll also talk about whether all of these chumras are derabanan. Are there any of them that are daraisa? So we'll get to that. The second thing is going to be the other way around, ways in which truma is more stringent than kodshim. And third, towards the end of the perek and the end of the masechta, we're going to be talking about the ways in which those rules, are, many of those rules, are relaxed during the yom tovim because, as we said, since Chayev Adam or Tahor Atzmi Beregel, since a person has an obligation to make themselves Tahor on the Yom Tovim, and most people, in fact, would do that, so many of these rules, many of the rules that apply to Tumas Ama Oretz are relaxed during the Yom Tovim in order that the Amir Oretz, because the Amir Oretz are presumably becoming Tahor anyway, and because they want all the Jewish people to be able to come on Aliyah Beregel and join in everything together. The Gemara later on brings the Pasuk about it, Kol Yisrael Chaverim, that at a time of Aliyah Beregel, all the Jewish people should be chaverim, meaning first of all friends, but second of all without divisions between them, but second of all chaverim also in the sense that we said yesterday, meaning people who are careful in Tumah V'Tahara. So those are the subjects of the parak in a nutshell. So the Mishnah starts off. Chomer b'kodesh mibitruma. There are chumras regarding kodesh, regarding food and kalim that are used for kodesh. Well, most of these things, many of these things are going to refer to kalim that are used for kodesh. Some of them are going to refer to the food. So there's chumras in kodesh over truma. So we're going to be listing in the Mishnah, we're going to have a machloikus in the Gemara, whether it's 10 or 11 things. So first of all, shemat bilin kalim besech kalim l'truma, avaloy l'kodesh. When it comes to truma, you're allowed to tovel one keli inside another. So suppose you have a larger keli, which is tame, and needs to be toveled. You have another keli that also needs to be toveled. So when it comes to truma, you would be allowed to tovel one inside the other, with certain provisions that we're going to see in the Gemara. Ava loyla kodesh. But you can't do that for Kodesh for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. So Rashi says we're talking about where both of them are Tahor. Later on, Tosfos discusses that actually, no, we may be talking about that the outer one is Tahor and the inner one is Tame. But if both of them were Tame, then in fact it would be good even for Kodesh, because once the outer one becomes Tahor, then so does the inner one. The Rambam learns similarly. So that's the first Maila. Number two, Acharayim B'toich U'Beisa Tzvita. When it comes to a Keli, we can distinguish between, when a Keli becomes Tomei, with a Tumah D'Oraisa, then, you know, however it becomes Tomei, the whole thing is Tomei, no question about it. But you have cases, which we touched on at the end of the previous Perek, where a Keli is Tomei only on the Derabbanan level. For example, it was touched by Mashkin Tmeim. We have various cases where liquids are Tomei on a Derabbanan level and become a Rishon LaTumah. Those are able to be Metamei Kelim, but the Chachamim made distinctions that depending on where on the Keli they touched it, they're not necessarily Metamei the whole thing. So when it comes to Kelim then, we distinguish between Achirayim, the back, the outside of the Keli. Now Rashi explains that what we mean is, sometimes you have a keli, like you think, for example, of some bechers for kiddush, the ones with stems. You often have that you often have the base of it, the foot of it, is itself hollow, and you could conceivably turn the cup upside down and use that hollow side. So that's the kind of acharayim that we're talking about over here. Rashi describes. Other mafoshim, including the Meiri, say not necessarily. We can just be talking about a regular outside, in which case we're not talking about klei cheres. They are never Tommy from the outside. We're talking about, let's say, a keli made out of wood or other materials like that that are makabel tuma, where they can things that can be makabel tuma, whether from the inside or from the outside. So if, for example, the mashkim tmeim touch it on the outside, then only the outside becomes tummy. So the outside, or again, according to Rashi, you're talking about another receptacle on the outside of it, for example, the foot of a becher. So you have a harayim, then you have separately the toich, the inside of the keli, which can become tamei by itself, or besa tzvita, and you also have the place where you do tzvita. Tzvita means means literally where you put your finger. There are, in fact, yosois that have besa tzvi'a instead of a tzvita. Tzvi'a then would be meloshen etzba. But besa tzvita means basically the same thing. There's a word in Megillas Rus, vayitzbot lo koli, that he pinched off and handed her a little bit of toasted grain. So the word vayitzbot also means to pick up something with your fingers. Anyway, besa tzvita then would be the part of the keli that you use for your finger. So it could mean something like, for example, in, let's say, a teacup, for example, you'd have the handle over there that you stick your finger into. The Rambam seems to understand it differently. He says you're talking about sometimes along the rim of the keli, there's a sunken in area where you can put your fingers while you're drinking, so your fingers don't end up going into the cup itself. Anyway, so that's considered a separate section of the keli by itself. So betruma, when it comes to truma, it works that way, that if one of those parts becomes tame, the other parts do not. But it's not the case with Kodesh, with a keli that's going to be used for food or drinks of Kodesh. If one of those three parts becomes tameh, then all of them are tameh and you have to dip it in the mikveh. So that's another one of the 10 or 11 miles. Another one, hanoseis hamidras. Suppose a person is carrying something which is tameh tumas midras. So Rashi gives an example. Let's say somebody is carrying, or maybe wearing, a shoe that belonged to a zav, where, of course, that shoe is an avatruma, having been stepped on by the zav. Noiseis hatruma. Nevertheless, he's allowed to carry truma. So Rashi describes, let's say he's carrying a barrel of truma. So therefore, Hagoyes HaBach adds, specifically, we mean an earthenware barrel, such that if the midras touches it on the outside, nothing happens, because earthenware kalim don't become tummy from the outside. So he's allowed to carry the both things together when it comes, if he's carrying the shoe of a zav or anything else, the tummy trumas midras, as well as a barrel of truma, then that's fine. We're not worried that it's going to make it tummy, because how could it? If the shoe went inside the barrel, then it would be matame. But it's not going to, and then we're not worried by truma that it might. Aval loyla kodesh, but not by kodesh, for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara on Chof Beis Amud Beis, that it actually once happened that somebody did and it ended up becoming tame. And therefore, from then on, the Chachamim made this rule as far as kodesh. Tosfos discusses, by the way that Rashi phrases it, Rashi doesn't say it in so many words, but the implication of Rashi seems to be, says Tosfos, that if this person is carrying the shoe of the Zov, then he himself would be considered an avatruma. And Tosfos says, what are you talking about? In that case, he wouldn't be able to carry the barrel, because if he's an avatruma, and if he himself is considered like a zav and he moves the barrel, then it's going to become tamei. That's tumas hesed that we talked about yesterday and the day before. So therefore, Tosfos stresses, it's not that he becomes an avatruma. The shoe is an avatruma. He himself is only a rishon latruma. So therefore, there's no problem of him carrying a barrel of truma. Only by kodesh, because of ma'aseh shehoyah, as we're going to learn on Chof Beis Amud Beis, did the Chachamim impose a rule that you can't carry midras and kodesh at the same time. Next, bigdei oichle truma midras lakodesh. We learned in the previous parak that the clothes of people who eat truma are considered tomei tumas midras relative to those who eat kodesh. So as we said, you have a person who's very careful. He tovled. He made sure to stay away from anything that would be matame him as far as truma. But we say he didn't have in mind to keep away from anything that would cause problems with kodeshim. And as we're going to say soon in the Mishnah, by kodeshim, you go all the way to Rabi. So therefore, we consider his clothes, midrabanan, as if they were tumas midras, for a person who's dealing with kodshim, and therefore, if such a person steps on or sits on or whatever his clothes, then he would have to go to the mikveh. By the way, Tosfos points out, we're not mentioning in our Mishnah, for example, what we had in the previous Mishnah about that we have to wash our hands for Chulin or Truma, but for Kodesh, you have to toivel your hands, because we're only talking about, in our Mishnah, we're only listing things that have some, there's some possibility that Truma might result from not following this rule. Whereas in that case, it's not that either way, whether you wash your hands or whether you toivel your hands, either way, your hands are tahor. Midrabanan, the whole concept of hands being tame is only midrabanan anyway. And if you wash them like the way we wash for bread, then you take away that truma anyway. So there's no drora de truma. There's no possibility of truma. That's just a separate thing. That's just a higher standard that the Chachamim imposed on kodesh. But here in our Mishnah, we're focusing on ones where conceivably, if you don't follow this rule, there could be a possibility of Torah. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Loik midas kodesh midas truma. The rules for kodesh are not like the rules for truma. Now, of course, all the rules we said so far are not. So why we have a separate expression like that? It sounds almost like a new heading, and the Mishnah, it almost sounds like the Mishnah is beginning a new listing. So Tosfos says, because we're going to be going on to explain many, the next detail that we're going to say over here includes several sub details as far as how you tovel such kalim. So therefore, the Mishnah gives it with an introduction like that. The Tiferes Yisrael says another reason. He says from now on, he explains that every one of the milus that we're going to be talking about from here to the end of the Mishnah, you actually have true kulus that you're doing in truma relative to kodesh. Until now, you only had one. Now he learns that from now on in the Mishnah, each one of them actually has true sub kulus in it, and therefore the Mishnah introduces it with an appropriate heading. Anyway, so what is it? Shabbat kodesh. When it comes to kodesh, if you have a piece of clothing that's tameh and you need to tovel it for purposes of kodesh, so suppose you have knots in it. Matu, you first have to untie the knots, because where it's knotted is somewhat like a chatzitza. It's not actually necessarily, because you may have planned to leave it that way permanently, or because the knot itself is not so tight that the water won't go in. Nevertheless, as a mila, when it comes to kodesh, you have to untie the knot, or minagiv. And if that area is wet, you have to dry it off first, because otherwise, now, of course, wetness itself is not a chatzitza. The wetness itself will mix with the water of the mikveh. But the problem is that sometimes the Meiri teaches it out. So sometimes the area that was wet, the area that was knotted and is still wet, is bunched up together. And therefore, the water is not going to get to every part of it that's possible. So therefore, you have to smooth it out and dry it out in order to make sure that doesn't happen. Then you can toggle it. Kosher, then you can retie the knot if you want. Or with truma, whereas when it comes to truma, you can be mekel kosher v'achakach matvil. You could even tie it if you want first, and then tovel it. Because again, we're not talking about such a tight knot that the water won't go into it. We're talking about a somewhat looser knot, and therefore there's less of a problem. That's one way of understanding this kosher. This business of kosher and matvil and whatever. The Rambam has a different way of understanding it. According to the Rambam, we're talking about a keli that's made out of parts. For example, imagine you have a bed that's made out of different parts that are joined together. So what we're saying is, with kodesh, you would actually have to take the bed apart. That would be matir, or menagiv. You would have to clean all of the sockets and all of the areas where one piece joined to the other thoroughly to make sure there's no dirt there. And then you tovel it, and then you could put it back together. Whereas with truma, we'd be saying you don't have to do that. It's not necessarily that likely that there's dirt in those crevices and whatever. And even if there is, it's bottle anyway. So therefore, when it comes to truma, then we can be makel and tovel the whole bed as one unit. Okay. Next mila in the Mishnah. Kalim anigmorim batahara. If you have kalim that you made when you made them. So while you were making them, Tosfos points out, you don't necessarily have to be careful to make sure that you're tahor, because before you finish making them, they're not makabel truma anyhow. So while you're in the process of making them, you could be tamei, and it doesn't really matter. But eventually you get to the stage where you're finishing up the keli, and now you need to make sure you don't want the keli to become tamei. So you make sure to begin with that you're tahor. Nevertheless, when you're going to use, though, if you want to use those kelim for kodesh, you still have to toivel them again, even though you would say, I made them completely batara. So what should be the problem? Nevertheless, you still have to toivel them again as an extra chumra when it comes to kodesh, but not when it comes to truma. And daf chof gimel, we'll talk about why that is. Another din, hakli mitzaref mashav asoichel kodesh, a keli combines together everything in it. So imagine you have a keli with a bunch of individual pieces of food in it, and maybe the pieces are not even touching one another. Nevertheless, the keli makes them considered all as if they were all joined together into one big piece regarding kodesh, not regarding truma. So in other words, let's say you have a keli with a bunch of individual pieces of food in it. So now let's say a source of truma, a sheretz or what have you, touches one of them. So when it comes to kodesh, we would say all of them are now considered a rishon l'truma, the one that it touched as well as the other ones, because all of them are in one keli. Whereas by truma, we wouldn't. We would say the first one is a rishon, and the one that it's touching becomes a sheni, and the next one becomes a shlishi, and then we stop over there. So the rest of them would be tahor. So that's another mila as far as kodshim and relative to truma. Tosfos points out, by the way, now we do have a din, a special din with klei cheres. A kli cheres, an earthenware keli, is metame from the inside specifically, unlike most other keli. It can't become tame from the outside, only the inside. And that means even if the truma doesn't actually touch it, it's just hanging inside it, then all the food in it becomes tame. But there, Tosfos says it's not really a matter of tziruf. We don't really find such a thing as tziruf regarding cholin, only regarding kodesh, as we're saying over here. So there, it's rather the point is that all that food is in the airspace of a tomei keli, and therefore it all becomes tomei. You were saying something else. He was saying even when the keli itself doesn't become tomei, just the fact that truma touched one of them, then in when it comes to kodesh, all the other ones become tomei. Another din that applies to kodeshim and not to truma, harivi ba kodesh posel. When it comes to kodesh, we go as far as revi la truma, vashlishi ba truma. But when it comes to truma, we only go as far as shlishi. Another one, uvet truma im nitmes achas miyadav. When it comes to handling or eating truma, suppose that one of a person's hands became tomei. Again, when we talk about hands becoming tamei, necessarily we're talking about a tumah derabanan, tumah deraisa. There's no such thing as only one part of your body becoming tamei. So now let's say one of your hands became tamei with a tumah derabanan, chaverta tahira. Then the other hand remains tahir, and therefore, so you only have to wash the one hand, and then you can handle or eat tumah. But when it comes to kodesh, you would have to not only wash, as we said in the previous perek on your chesam and beis, that you would have to actually, for kodesh, you actually have to toivel, so you would have to toivel both hands. Shehayad metames chavet of a kodesh avaloi betruma, because one hand can be metame the other one when it comes to kodesh, but not when it comes to truma. We're talking about where there's no liquid over here involved, because if there was liquid involved, then even by truma it would be metame, because your hand is going to be metame the liquid, make it a rishon l'truma d'rabanan, and then it's going to make your other hand a sheni l'truma. We're talking about your hands are dry, so one hand became tame, now you touch the other hand with it. So if your hands are dry, by truma, no problem. Your other hand didn't become tameh. By kodesh, we still say your other hand also became tameh, and therefore you need to make both of them tahor. And when it comes to kodesh, making them tahor means not only, it's not enough to wash them, you have to dip them in a mikveh. Another mila of kodesh over truma. Oichlin neguvim biyadayim misu'ovis b'truma, also having to do with trumas yadayim. If your hands are tameh, and you're eating dry food, so in other words, it never became wet ever since it was picked, so it was never mukshul kabel truma. And now you're eating it with your hands are tamei. It doesn't matter, but by truma, that's fine because it can't become tame. It never became muksha lekabel truma. So therefore, there's no problem. Avaloi b'kodesh, but not when it comes to kodesh. There, even though it was never muksha lekabel truma, nevertheless, it will become tame from your hands. We're going to talk about in the Gemara on Chof Dalet Amud Beis. We're going to talk about why that is. And the last one, ha'oinen mechusik kippurim, an oinen, so somebody whose relative passed away and hasn't been buried yet. So Rashi describes, in other words, we're not talking about where he became tamei mes. Obviously, then he's tamei daraisa. We're talking about he's an oinen, but he himself didn't actually become tamei. Nevertheless, dirabanan, he still needs tevila in order to eat kodesh, again, for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. And the same way, anybody who part of the process of their tahara involves bringing a korban. So Rashi gives one example, a zav, let's say. So he went through his 7 clean days, he toveled. Now he did head of Shemesh. Now the next, he's still mechosuk kippurim because he still has to bring a korban, and only then is he allowed to eat kodshim. So therefore, tzrichin tevila lakodesh. So he needs to tovel. But before he eats kodesh, and we mean tovel after he brings his korban. So in other words, with a zav, let's say, so he's going to tovel on the 7th day, he's going to do head of shemesh, all that is daraisa. He brings his korban, also daraisa. Now, but d'rabbanan, we're saying even after he brings his korban, he needs to tovel once again. For reasons, again, that we're going to discuss in the Gemara in a couple of days, that's Hashem. Ava loyla truma, but that's not necessary for truma. Now, he can't eat truma until he brings the actual korban. Unlike Maisa Sheni, where Mechosuk Kippurim can eat Maisa Sheni, in fact, for Maisa Sheni, as we learned previously, you don't even need head of Shemesh. But for Truma, you do need to bring the korban in order to. You don't need to bring the korban in order to eat Truma. Rather, you only need to bring the korban in order to eat Kodshim. So that part is Daraisa. But Midrabanan, you need to also Tovel as well. Tosfos, you can see over here, there's a very, very long Tosfos that discusses the details about, suppose a person is tamei with one of these trumas d'rabbanan, or in this case, for example, the oinen and mechosuk kippurim, where they're not really tamei, but nevertheless, we're still imposing on them a tefillah, do they require head of shemesh? The Tosfos is discussing at some length and saying that no, in that case, they don't require head of shemesh. So for example, or zav over here, let's say, for example, the 7th day was a Tuesday, so he toveled Tuesday, sometime during the day on Tuesday. Tuesday night is head of Shemesh. Wednesday morning, he brings the korban. After that, Midrabanan was saying sometime during the day, Wednesday, he has to tovel. That's it. Once he tovels, he's allowed to eat kodshim. He does not have to wait until Wednesday night in order to eat kodshim. And Tosfos discusses the ins and outs of it on the basis of various other Gemaras. Maybe, in fact, for example, when you have a case, we learned all the way back in Yuma. We had an example of one of the Kohenim Gdolim over there, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who was talking with a goy, and accidentally a drop of saliva squirted out of the goy's mouth and landed on Rabbi Shmuel's clothing. And the result is that he was tamei and he wasn't able to do the avodah. And the reason is, Tosfos says, because since we consider the goyim to be zovim, so therefore we consider his saliva to actually be an avatuma, and an avatuma, then you need head of shemesh. So there are cases where you do that, but generally speaking, when it comes to tumas d'rabbanan, usually you don't need it. Okay, so before we get into the Gemara, there are actually a few different things in Chassidus that talk about our Mishnah, that talk about various aspects of our Mishnah. First of all, on the very first words of the Mishnah, Choymer b'Kodesh b'Truma, there's a word from the Baal Shem Tov, it's brought in Keser Shem Tov, that says, Choymer b'Kodesh, if you want to make your Chumrius, your physicality, into Kodesh, then the way you have to do that is b'Truma, you have to lift up. Truma literally means lifting up. So you have to lift yourself up closer to the Eivishter, and then you will be able to accomplish that. And then, there's another vort that the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezitra Magid bring in their respective Svarim, that the next phrase in the Mishnah, Shemach Bilin Kalim, the Sech Kalim, the Truma, Avaloy L'Kodesh, hints at another idea. Now you have, sometimes a person is davening and they have Machshavas Zoris. So in the Keser Shem Tov and in Magid Dvar of Yaakov and the Svarim of the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezitra Magid, respectively, it talks about in some cases, the idea, it talks about in several places, the idea that you can be Maila, the Machshavas Zoris, you can be refining and elevating these Machshavas Zoris through the words of davening. For example, they talk about the idea that, let's say, a person is having a machshava zara. What he should do is figure out where the root of that machshava zara is coming from, and then attach that to kedusha, and divert that thought into thoughts of kedusha. So therefore, they explain the machshava zaras are called a keli. The letters of davening are also called a keli. So therefore, your matbil, you're being metaher the kelim of machshava zaras inside the kelim of davening. When that works with truma, that works to elevate yourself to those machshavas zaras to Hashem. With that said, though, the Alter Rebbe stresses in Tanya, in Perek Chavov or Chav Zayin, the Alter Rebbe says no. That kind of avoida that the Baal Shem Tov and the Mizrach Maggid are describing is for tzaddikim. They don't have machshavas zaras of their own. Their machshavas zaras come to them as a result of their mikurabim having machshavas zaras, and therefore it reflects on them. So therefore, they're able to be milah because it's not their own. But a benini, which is after all who the Alter Rebbe is writing Tanya for, you can't be milah these machshavas zaras. They're your own. You're stuck down here. How are you going to be milah them the milah? So the Alter Rebbe discusses that no, the proper way is that for a benini is that he should ignore the machshavas zaras and, if necessary, ask Hashem to help him with them, and so on and so forth. That's one line of our Mishnah, then, that has an explanation of Bichsidus. Another one is when we say further in the Mishnah, we say further in the Mishnah, HaKli Mitzaref Mashem Esoichel HaKodesh Avaloy L'Truma. So here we have actually an explanation. So one year in the Tzaddik, in Tzaddik Gimel, the Friedrich Rebbe was out of town during the Tishrei Yom Tovim, or at least during Sukkot. So instead, the Rebbe fabreng that Tishrei with the Chassidim. So even though this is long before the Rebbe accepted the Nesius, nevertheless, that Sukkot, he was kind of filling in for the Friedrich Rebbe. So he gave over a Sicha, one of the nights of Simchas Beit HaSheva. The notes for the Sicha are printed in Rishimis. And the Rebbe shtelled sich on what it was saying here in the Mishnah, Kli Mitzaref Masha B'Seicha L'Kodesh Avaloy L'Truma. And he explained that what we're talking about over here, the deeper level, in Halacha, as we said, we're talking about different individual pieces of food that are inside one keli, not touching one another. And nevertheless, we're saying that as far as Kodesh, they're considered one big unit. And if one of them becomes Tomei, then all of them become Tomei. And that works by Kodesh, not by Truma. So the Rebbe discussed the idea that this represents the idea that you have many different Neshamas Yisrael, many different individual Jews, and they might even be separated from one another. They're not Ba'achdus. And you may even have a Jew who's keeping only some mitzvahs and not others. So like for him, the mitzvahs are like something fragmentary. You have some but not others. So it's like pieces of food in a plate or whatever that are not touching one another. Nevertheless, we're saying as far as Kodesh, which Kodesh here represents Atzilus, on the level of Atzilus, which is where all Jews and Neshamas come from, as the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Lamed Beis of Tanya, which we just learned in Chitas these last few days, that from the point of view of our Neshamas, we're all one, and therefore that's what the Mishnah is hinting at over here by saying that when it comes to Kodesh, all of them are considered like one big unit, rather than separate ones, even though they're not touching. So now getting to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Bakodesh my time aloy." Now, the first din of our Mishnah, we said, is that when you have kelim that you want to tovel inside other kelim. So for, again, Rashi had learned that we're talking about that both of them are Tomei. Tosfos and the Rambam learn that one of them is that the outer one is Tahor and the outer one is Tomei. So Bakodesh, my time aloy. What's wrong with toveling one keli inside another when it comes to Kodesh? The Gemara says, Amar of Ila, Mipnesha Kvedesh o Kli Chotis. Because the heaviness of the keli, of the inside keli, is going to make a chatzitza. What's going to happen? You have one keli inside another. The inner one is likely to weigh down on the bottom of the outer keli, and then you have that part of the outer keli, that part of the inside of the outer keli, water is not getting to it. So it's going to be a chatzitza, and actually neither one is going to be both. There's going to be a chatzitza between both of them, and both of them tevila is not going to count. Which we're going to go through over here discussing discussing various aspects of Rabbi Ilo's opinion, and then we're going to discuss Rava's opinion, and later on the Gemara is going to ask, well, if it's a matter of COVID, if it's a matter of heaviness, then the same problem should apply to Truma as well. There is a concept of Chatzitza Daraisa, and Rabbanon, you have more stringent rules about Chatzitza. So if the concern really is that the inner Keli is going to weigh down and press down on the inside of the outer Keli, then it shouldn't just be a Maila for Kodesh, then it should be a basic Halacha that in the world. So why is according to Rabbi Ila, why is the Mishnah saying it only applies to Kodesh? We'll revisit that point later. But first the Gemara asks, Vahomid is safer Mishum Chatzitza, given that later on in the Mishnah we have something else regarding Chatzitza, Reishalav Mishum Chatzitza. Necessarily, wouldn't it have to be that the first part is not because of Chatzitza, because otherwise, in effect, you have the same rule repeated twice. The Katani safer because we continue in the Mishnah. The Loik Midas HaKodesh Midas HaTurma. We said there's a big difference between how you have to do things with Kodesh versus Turma. Sheba Kodesh Matur Mangiv Matvil V'Achakach Kosher. We said by Kodesh you have to untie the knots in the clothes and clean them or press them out and then Tovil, and only then you can retie it. Or with Turma Kosher V'Achakach Matvil. And by Turma instead you can tie it if you want and then Tovil it. So that was, again, according to Rashi, according to the Rambam, we're talking about, for example, they have to take apart the bed or the piece of furniture or whatever and clean the grooves and whatnot and then tovel it and put it back together. So now, what would be the reason, according to either Rashi or the Rambam's understanding, is because of Chatzitza. So if according to Rabbi Ila, the problem of toveling one keli inside another is the problem of Chatzitza, then you have basically two rules that are saying the same thing. And the answer is that Rabbi Ila would say, Reishav is safer mishum chatzitza. As a matter of fact, both of them are because of chatzitza. Which in that case, you have to wonder, so the Gemara is going to explain why we need both, but you have to wonder, the Gemara does not explain, so why are they listed so far apart? And one reason, Mephoshim say, is because maybe just the Mishnah is listing them in the order in which they were learned, in the order in which they were taught. So when the Chachamim made these milas, they made these milas, and then they taught them to their Talmidim, who in turn taught them to their Talmidim, etc. And they were in this order, and therefore the order was kept, even though logically you would say two of them belong together. So why do we need both of them? Utzricha, we need both rules, says Rabbi Ila. De Iyashmin and Reisha, if we were only told in the Reisha that you can't tovel Kalim inside Kalim for Kodesh, Havamina, the Lakodesh loy, you would say, you know why you can't do it for Kodesh is, like we said, Mishum Kvedesh or Kli, Deika. Because after all, you have the heaviness of the inside Keli, which is going to weigh down on the outside Keli and create a Chatzitza. Abel Sefer, but in the Sefer, when we're talking about knots in clothes or tongues and grooves or whatever in furniture, Deleka Kvedesh or Kli, you don't have that factor. So Emel a Kodesh Nami lai have a Chatzitza. Maybe for Kodesh also it would be fine. The Iyashmin and Sefer, on the other hand, if we only had the Sefer, Havamina, then you would say, Hainu Taimid, a Kodesh loy. You know why for Kodesh you have to untie the knots or take apart the furniture, Mishum de Kitra, Bamaya Aduki Mida, Mihada. Because what happens when you put the knot into the water, Kitra means the knot, when you put it into the water, it's going to tighten. When you put cloth into water, for example, or according to the Rambam, you're putting furniture into the water, it often swells up as a result of the water. So therefore, the knot or the joint becomes tighter. And therefore, you have maybe a much greater reason to say that it would be a chatzitza. So, Abel Reisha, but in the Reisha, you would say, on the contrary, you don't have to worry about the outer Keli weighing down the inner Keli. On the contrary, you might say the water is going to cause the inner Keli to float. So there's less of a problem of Chatzitza. So, Loi Havi Chatzitza, you would say it's not a Chatzitza. And therefore, you would say you need both statements in the Mishnah to clarify that in both cases there is a potential problem of chatzitza. So again, it's only a potential problem. Therefore, by truma we're not by truma and anything below truma we're not worried about it. But by kodeshim we are. Tosfos actually points out that now we said that you not only have to untie the knots, we said also menagiv, you have to dry them off. Now, what does that have to do with anything? So Tosfos says, first of all, I mean, one is kind of an outgrowth of the other. Like we said in the Mishnah, the idea why you would have to dry it is because otherwise that area is bunched up, and therefore it may not, therefore all the water may not reach it. Tosfos also says maybe what would happen is any water that's left in the bunched up area would still be tame, and then it would be and then it would be mitame the other water. Normally we would say the water in those crevices joins together with the water of the mikveh and becomes tahor, but maybe we would say by kodesh we don't do that. However, Tosfos says that in that case then you have one extra mila. We're saying that you have 11 milas in the Mishnah according to Rava that we're going to say soon, and 10 according to Rabbi Ila. If you say that there's an additional mila, that hashaka doesn't work when it comes to kodesh, then you have an extra one. So okay, Tosfos says maybe there's one or the other ones that's mentioned in the Mishnah that they would say not to count, because as the Gemara is going to discuss later, those are maybe daraisa. So therefore, so you could maybe say this is another reason Tosfos says why you would have to be menagiv when it comes to truma, when it comes to kodesh rather. Because otherwise the water in there, the water that's left in that part of the clothing is not going to become tahor. It's not hashaka, is not going to work for it as a mila b'kodesh. And then after you take the clothing out of the mikveh, it becomes tame again from that remaining water over there. Anyway, but the main point is as far as the tying or untying the knots, or as far as toveling one keli inside another, Reb Ila holds both of those. The problem is chatzitza, and therefore he's saying that both of those count really as only one of the milas. So the Gemara says Reb Ila taimei. Reb Ila is going according to his own svara. Do amar Reb Ila amar Reb Chanina bar Papa eser milas shonu kan. Our Mishnah is listing 10 milas that kodesh has over truma, and the difference between them is chomish rishonis. Bein l'kodesh, bein l'chulin shenasu al taras ha-kodesh. The first five apply to kodeshim themselves as well as to chulin shenasu al taras ha-kodesh. As we learned yesterday, you can have a person has the chulin food which they prepare and keep at the standards as if it was kodeshim. As we said over there, Rashi says the reason is because the person wants to accustom his family to following these rules. And according to the Meiri, the reason is because he wants to be able to sell his wine or oil or whatever to Hekdesh for Korbanos. Whatever the case, so it's Chulin, but he's treating it as if it was Kodesh. So Reb Ila is saying the first five rules of our Mishnah apply to both Kodesh itself as well as Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. Achronis, and then the last five, the Kodesh, Avaloi L'Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. The remaining five in the Mishnah are only for Kodesh, not for Chol and Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh. So we see that he's clearly saying that there are 10, and therefore that requires him to say that two of the ones in the Mishnah, when you look in the Mishnah, you seem to have 11 things, but he's saying two of them are really one, because the one about not toiveling Kalim inside other Kalim, and the one about untying the knots or taking apart the furniture are essentially the same thing. So the Gemara says, my timer. Now, what's the logic? Why would we say that some of these apply to Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh and other ones do not? So the reason is, Chomish Kamaisa, the first five in the Mishnah, the Islu Drora de Tumah Midaraisa, there is the possibility of Drora, means a Hashash, of Tumah Midaraisa. So therefore, God's rule, Rabbanan, Bein L'Kodesh, Bein L'Chulin, so therefore the Chum imposed the rule as far as Chulin Shanasu Altaris, Bein L'Chulin, Shanasu Altaris HaKodesh. So let's go through the five, Rashi says. The toveling one keli inside another, again, there's the possibility of chatzitza. The inner one might weigh down on the outer one and create a chatzitza, and that would prevent it from being tahor on a daraisa level. So therefore, we're going to impose that on Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh as well. The one about the back, about the various parts of the keli, the outside, the inside, and the finger area. So now we are talking about a keli that was tomei tumah derabanan, but nevertheless, why bechlal did the chachamim say that mashkim are tomei and are matame a keli? Usually, a vlada tumah is not matame kelim. The reason is the chachamim were concerned that you might confuse these mashkim with mashkim that come from a zov, for example, the saliva or the urine of a zov, which are actually an av tumah and are matame kelim daraisa. Now, when it comes to a tumah daraisa, there's no such thing as inside or outside or whatever. Any part of the keli that the tumah touches, the whole thing becomes tumah. So therefore, so that's what we mean. There's drora the tumah daraisa, even though this particular keli became tamei only with mashkin, which are only with mashkin that are tamei only derabanan, but had it become tamei instead with mashkin that are tamei deraisa, then the whole thing would be tamei. So therefore, we impose that. So fine, when it comes to truma or anything below truma, we don't impose that chumra. But when it comes to chulin chenasu al taras hakodesh, we do. That's the second rule of the Mishnah. The third rule about noses and midras, we said that if a person is carrying something that is tamei tumas midras, for example, the shoe of a zav. So we said he's allowed to carry truma with it, but not kodshim. Now, later on, we're going to learn that there was actually a case where a person was carrying midras together with kodshim, and by accident, a shoelace or something of the shoe went into the airspace of the barrel of kodshim and made it tameh, and therefore the chacham made this rule. So fine, in that case, there is the possibility of a tumah d'oraisa. So fine, normally you're not going to have, it's not normal that such a thing is going to happen. Therefore, we don't impose that chumra as far as truma. Only if the shoelace goes in there, then you're going to have a problem. But we don't have to worry that it might. But by kodshim, we're saying that it might. But that's because the original story, there was a truma d'oraisa. The next one, about big d'oichle truma midras l'kodesh, where we said the clothes of people who are tahor for eating truma are still considered midras relative to those who eat kodesh. Well, why is that? We said previously, the problem is that conceivably his wife might have sat on them when she's a nidya. And that's, of course, a truma d'oraisa. So again, the possibility that she did without you noticing is a remote possibility. Therefore, we're not concerned about it for truma or anything below truma. But for kodesh, we are concerned about it. As the fact that we're concerned about it is a maila d'rabanan. But the fact that the truma that we're concerned about is a truma d'oraisa. And the next one, the fifth one in the Mishnah, where we said about kelim anigmorim b'tara tzrichim tzvila l'kodesh, avaloi l'truma, what we meant was, so again, you have a keli that when you're finishing the making of it, you're making sure that you're tahor. But later on, the Gemara is going to explain that still there's the possibility that an Ama Oretz was nearby and accidentally a drop of his saliva got on it. And since we're saying that the Ama Oretz are tamei d'rabanan, then their saliva would be metamei it, even though you didn't realize. So again, we're not imposing that chumra by truma, but we are by kodshim. And again, the Ama Oretz conceivably could be a zav, and his saliva would be tamei d'oraisa. So those five apply also to Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh, because there is the possibility of Tumah D'oraisa within each one of them. Basraisa, whereas when it comes to the last five, the lesser Droda, the Tumah D'oraisa, there's no possibility with them of any Tumah D'oraisa. Maximum, you're only talking about. So let's go through those. So you had the next one was about untying and retying the clothing. Okay, so Rav Ila says actually that one is part of the first one. So there's a drud of the tumah. But after that, you have a kli mitzaref mashav b'soichoi, that the keli combines everything together in it. There's no possibility of tumah d'oraisa on a d'oraisa level. The fact is all of these pieces of food are separate. So it's only d'rabanan. The fact that Revi Bakodesh Postle, later on, we're going to discuss the question in the next couple of blah, whether that's Doraisa or Dirabanan. But at least on a Doraisa level, there's no possibility of a degree of Tumah that's going to make other things Tomei. The part about hands, one hand making the other one Tomei, again, Tumas Yadayim is only Dirabanan. The part about eating food, about eating dry food with hands that are tamei, same thing. Your hands are tamei only d'rabanan, so there's no possibility of a tumah d'oraisa over here. And the part about an onan mechusa kippurim is also there's no drora the tumah. The reason the Gemara ends up saying why they have to tovel before they eat kodshim is just because they've been used to not being around kodshim during the last little while, and therefore we're concerned that they may have become tamei without realizing it. But realistically, we're not saying that there's any actual possibility of tumei involved. So therefore, Ela is saying that's why you have five versus five. I forgot to mention in the Mishnah, by the way, another phrase in the Mishnah that has an explanation of Pichsidus is when we said Kalim and Igmorim Batara, Srichim Tvila Lakodesh, Avaloy Latruma, we said about these Kalim that you finished making them Batara. There's a number of places in Sichas from the early years where they ever talked about the idea that what it means is even a person that's Nigmorim Batara, a person who is he's a Kali for Elakurs and for Torah Sachsidus and whatever, and he's completed Batara. Nevertheless, he shouldn't think that he's reached the ultimate level and he doesn't need to work on himself anymore. Nevertheless, we're still saying tefillah, he needs tefillah, where tefillah, osias habitul, he still needs to develop a sense of bitul in order to be able to go up to the level of kodesh. Okay, so anyway, so all of this so far was one opinion about the milus in our Mishnah. Reb Ila, who was saying the first one about not tovel and kalim inside kalim, is because of a chatzitza, and it's essentially the same thing as the one later in the Mishnah about untying and retying the knots. Rava Omar, Rava on the other hand, says a different reason for the part about not tovel and kalim inside kalim. Mid is safer having mishum chatzitza, reisha lav mishum chatzitza. Rava says. Rava says that given that sefer is because of chatzitza, necessarily therefore the reisha cannot, because he doesn't want to learn like Reb Ila that you have two rules over here that are restating the same thing, and that you have, as the Gemara said before, tzricha between one and the other. He would rather learn that each of them is an independent gzera, and therefore, so it has to be the first one is not because of chatzitza. The reisha, I know timer. So why in the reisha you're not allowed to tovel kalim inside kalim? Because the gzera, we don't want it to be toveling small kalim, such as needles and small forks. Suppose he were to tovel them inside a keli, where the opening of the keli is smaller than shreferes hanoid, and we'll talk about in a minute what the size of shreferes hanoid is, but you have to have. You have to have that minimum size in order for the inside of the keli to be connected to the outside of the mikveh, to the rest of the mikveh. So therefore, so if you have a keli with a very narrow opening like that, now, practically speaking, all you're going to be able to fit inside a keli would be small things like machtim b'tzinodius, which is why he's saying that. So therefore, so suppose you have a kli that the opening of it is less than the size of shreferes hanoid, then you're going to have a problem. The kelim are not, in fact, going to become tahor because what you tovel them in, even though the water is physically connected to the water of the mikveh, it's not considered to be connected unless the opening between them is the size of shreferes hanoid. Shreferes hanoid literally means the tube of a skin bag. So they would have in those times, you would have bags made out of skin that they would use to store wine or water or other liquids, and at the opening of it, they would attach a tube that way you'd get the when you're pouring it out from there, instead of just having to pour it out from the ragged edges of the skin bag, instead you would have a tube over there so you could pour it out more cleanly. So that tube had a standard size, and that size is the minimum for a mikveh for combining water for a mikveh. Kiditnan, as in fact we learn in a Mishnah. When you want to blend together two mikvois, so suppose you have two pools of water, one has 40 saan as a kosher mikvah, the other one does not, and you want to make one of them, you could also have, for example, one of them is rainwater and the other one is not, whatever. So to mix them, to make them consider one big mikvah, you need kishreferes hanoid, you need something the width of a shreferes hanoid, this tube that you put into a skin bag, ka'ovya, including the thickness of it, meaning you including the thickness of the walls of the shreferes, the chachalola, and also the inside of it. So in other words, so you have to have this. The size is the actual cross section of the tube, including the outer layer of it, and including the inner hollow space. And that amount is v'shtei etzbois chozrus l'mekoyman. The amount of that is the size in which you could twirl around two fingers in it. So in other words, you would stick two fingers in it. And now normally in halacha, by the way, fingers usually means the gudel, usually means the thumb. Here, what it means is the first two fingers next to the thumb, so the index finger and the middle finger. You stick them into the hole, you rotate them around. As long as you can rotate them around freely inside that hole, then that's the size of shreferes hanoid. So now, if you have that size hole or larger between the two mikvos, then it will combine them. So now applying that over here to the keli, the problem is if the keli has an opening narrower than that, then the kelim inside it are not considered to be inside the mikvah water. They're considered to be inside something else that contains water in it. So and therefore they wouldn't become tahor. So again, when it comes, so Rava would say, when it comes to Truma or anything below that, that's only a Xera that we're worried about. But in general, it's not going to be a problem. But when it comes to Kodesh, we're going to make that Xera just to be on the safe side. Tosfos discusses over here, actually, that there are cases where you have, that you do have cases where one mikveh can connect with another one in a space smaller than that. So Tosfos discusses at some length over here what the possibilities are. When do you need Shreferes Hanoid? When not? One distinction is whether we're talking about whether the mikvahs are next to each other or one on top of the other, and so forth. And in fact, in this case over here with the keli, the Rambam, for example, describes, I think we're going to have it in the Gemara later, that there's a difference whether the outer keli is right side up or whether it's on its side. If it's on its side, then it's considered an effect like a separate mikvah, then you need Shreferes Hanoid. If it's right side up, then you don't necessarily. So the Gemara says, Savala kahada amr of Nachman amr avavua. So therefore, Rava, who's saying that the part about not tovelin kalim inside other kalim, he says it has nothing to do with chatzitza. It has to do with iruv mikvos. Unlike Rav Ilo, who had said it was a matter of chatzitza, so he holds like the opinion. He holds like Rav Nachman amr avavua yud aleph milas shanukan, that there are not 10 milas in our Mishnah like Rav Ilo had said, but rather 11. Sheish Rishonis Ben Lakodesh Ben Lakholan Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh, the first six, which includes all the way down to and including the one about untying and retying, those apply to Kodesh as well as to Cholan Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. Achronis Lakodesh, Avalo Lakholan Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh, and the last five only apply to Kodesh, not to Cholan Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. And again, the reason is, for the same reason as before, because the first six, so according to Rav Ila, it was only five. According to Rava, it's six. All those six include a drudah, the Truma D'Oraisa. There's the possibility that there might be a Truma D'Oraisa involved over here, whereas the last five are strictly Trumas D'Rabbanan, and there's no possibility of a Truma D'Oraisa over there, and therefore there's no reason to be gozer them. So we all gozer them as far as Kodesh, but we don't go so far as extending it to Chul and Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with a nafka minna between Rav Ila's and Rava's opinion about that, about this business of Kalim Besoch Kalim.
Which opinion do we hold by? Today it doesn't apply, but what's the most prevalent opinion? To Rav Ila,
So as far as the number of milas that I'm passing like Rava, that there are 11, this business about tobling inside a keli that ain't befib shreferes hanoid. So we're going to talk about that in more detail in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. There are cases where it does work and there are cases where it doesn't work. It depends on a couple of factors. It depends on whether the outer keli is right side up or sideways. It also depends on whether the outer keli itself is tomei or not. So nowadays, we're not toveling them for Tumah V'Tahara. Nowadays, the only reason you're toveling kalim is when you buy kalim that were made by a goy, that were owned by a goy, and you're tovelling them, but yes, the same rules would apply.
And so those are Eloy's rules.
Say what again?
Which rules are they? Those
the
which
rules
opinion?
About, so the rules about the same, that if you want to tovel a keli inside another keli, then you have to make sure that you're doing it properly. If the outer keli is tahor, and if the outer keli itself is tahor, in this case, doesn't need tefillah, and it's on its side, and the opening of it is less than Shreferes Hanoid, then you have a problem. Practically speaking, when are you going to find that nowadays? If you're tovelling a keli, then you're only tovelling it because it requires tefillah. If you're putting one keli inside another, like for example, you go to the kalim mikvahs and you put your kalim inside a basket, no big deal. As the Gemara is going to point out soon. Which we'll learn tomorrow, Best Hashem, that a basket has an opening much larger than Shreferes Hanoid, so therefore there's no problem. So practically speaking, yeah, you don't really come across these halachas nowadays, but in principle, yes, if you were to be tovelling two kalim, one inside the other, and the outer one has a narrow opening, and it itself doesn't require tevilah, and it itself is turned on its side, then you would have a problem. But practically speaking, you're very unlikely to come across that scenario nowadays.
Shkayach.
Yeah.